It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and GoPSURV.com for the best single game RV value in Happy Valley. Check out GoPSURV.com. Fantastic RVs you can rent for individual games, free shuttle to Beaver Stadium, large projection TV, and free Wi-Fi in the lot. And you can enjoy tailgating with a 409 barbecue and wine and Labatt Blue beer. Go to GoPSURV.com for all the details. There's a tailgate this Friday night in advance of the Iowa game from 6 to 10 p.m. to come check out what they have to offer and get some really good food and drink while you're there. Looking ahead to Iowa, this is a key stretch for Penn State, Greg. Iowa, Michigan, Wisconsin, really season-defining. It was going to be season-defining anyway, but it's taken on a little different shape now that they've lost two games the way that they lost two games. The way that people are questioning what's happening, where things are going, why you're seeing some of the same things happen again and again and again. And that's not just this season. That's back in 2017. To some extent, back in 2016, particularly the Rose Bowl and not being able to finish games. So what we're doing is just looking, you know, in the context of trying to figure out what's going to happen the rest of the way, just where Penn State is as a program and, you know, what they have in store for us for the second half of the year, considering we haven't seen a lot of progress on some of these burning issues, the drops, the special teams issue, not being able to get off the field defensively, not really staying on schedule, staying in rhythm offensively. So I think it's fair, Greg, to wonder what's happening and why there haven't been fixes yet. But I also think it's in this dynamic that Penn State has had really a lot of success for two plus seasons, and you can't have such large scale doubts that it clouds that.
No question about it. I mean, I think, again, James Franklin said last week or 2 weeks ago, I can't remember, I think it was last week, that, you know, he feels that Penn State is still on or ahead of schedule in terms of his tenure from where they started to where they are now. Is that true? Dustin, I don't know. I mean, I think that obviously no one expected Penn State to win a Big Ten title in 2016. I don't think two back-to-back New Year's Six Bowl games were expected. A win in the Fiesta Bowl was not expected. But it almost served as expectations, I think, got too big too quick. The flip side of that, though, is what were the expectations not right from a lot of people to begin with? I mean, 9-3 and 10-2 is what most people picked this team to be going into the season. Right now, as we sit here and talk about it, they're 5-2 with, you know, is there another loss on the schedule? I think so. Is there more than that? Probably not. But we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think this team is sort of what we thought it was. They have a lot of inexperience. They have some veterans that are maybe it's time to pass the torch to some of the younger guys who took 7 weeks to get ready, plus camp, of course. So, I mean, I think that they're kind of caught in the middle with this team a little bit in terms of the future is very bright. And it's also very young. And there are some guys that have really held this program together and taken it to some incredible heights on the back end of their career. And now you just wonder, you know, it just feels like there's not a divide. I don't mean there's a divide in the locker room or anything like that, but it just feels like one foot is always going to be behind the other one this year, simply because, again, you have some veteran guys that have been through a lot. And you have some younger guys who just haven't.
If you look back and try to figure out, where you expected them to be versus where they are now, there's not a lot of the stuff that's going on you should have been able to see coming.
Yeah.
First of all, defensive tackle depth is something that it's really an underrated key area of concern for this team. If it wasn't, you wouldn't see CJ Thorpe flip positions from offense to defense in the middle of a season. You look at linebacker and the number of real impact players they had at linebacker.
Uh-huh.
The best linebackers on the roster, most talented linebackers on the roster, are too young to really play up the game speed.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things, you know, Micah Parsons, we've seen a fair amount of him. We haven't seen a lot of splash plays because I think he's just kind of in survival mode out there. You know, safeties have been okay. How often have we called Nick Scott's number, by the way?
Yeah.
I feel like it's been really, really, really quiet for him. I felt like he got off to a good start. Like, we saw him play a good game against Appalachian State. We haven't seen a lot of him around the ball Am I wrong?
No, I mean, he had the interception against Indiana, and that was really the first splash play he's had in weeks. I mean, I think that – and that's the other thing, too. So Penn State's not necessarily being hurt by its starters, per se, but I don't know if they're necessarily playing above average for a lot of them anyway. Some are. But, I mean, I think that's the biggest problem is that you have starters that are maybe around the average mark in terms of comparatively to peers across the country, to other top 25 teams and the other top Big Ten teams, and – they're average a lot in a lot of ways, and there's not like there's somebody waiting in the wings that are really in most cases ready to take, you know, the next step and be above average or better. So, like I said, I just feel like they're in a spot now. Defensive tackle depth, I personally criminally underappreciated Tyrell Chavis, Robert Windsor, and Curtis Cothran, and right now you see why, because let me rephrase: Tyrell Chavis and the Cothrans. Because Robert Windsor and Kevin Givens are being, you know, they're run down. They have to be run down, Dustin. They're playing way too many snaps. But Penn State doesn't really have a choice, or so it seems, because they don't really love their depth, and their depth can't necessarily play up to standard. So it's a tough spot to be in.
A continuation of that, you know, before the season, maybe we didn't appreciate enough the idea of having a brand new dynamic in the passing game. Without Mike Gesicki, without Deshaun Hamilton, without Saquon Barkley, who did a lot of work as a receiver. You knew those names. I mean, those names, replacing them was a key. But when it came to finding a rhythm, you combine that with a rookie play caller, and this is kind of where you are. You combine that with the guy that they're getting brand new coaching as after Josh Gattis leaves from Penn State to go to Alabama. Uh-huh. David Corley comes in. So there's a lot of new stuff offensively as part of that that I know for me, I didn't appreciate the amount of change and all that. I think because, you know, you see Trace McSorley as a third-year starter, as a fifth-year senior, I thought that he would be enough to smooth that out, but that hasn't been the case so far.
No,
But with that in mind, I think the wide receiver play has been lower than expectation. I think I felt like defensive ends, I thought that there'd be a lot more splash plays defensively from some of their more experienced guys that we haven't seen.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the biggest disappointment. I think that we knew that there'd be some hiccups along the way as Penn State transitioned to Miles Sanders, transitioned away from Deshaun Hamilton and Mike Gesicki, but it just hasn't worked. The guys that we thought were going to be the splash players, the guys that we thought were going to be players that Penn State could rely upon for production, it just really has not been there more often than not. I mean, Juwan Johnson, 2 catches, 72 yards. I mean, don't get me wrong, the 59-yard run on a 9-yard pass was tremendous, but he didn't finish it, and then he didn't come back into the game. I think that was his last play, honestly. It was one of his last. You look at the stat sheet, Cam Sullivan Brown, 2 for 33. DeAndre Tompkins finally returns to the stat sheet, but he has just 1 catch for 13 yards. You can talk all you want about Trace McSorley, and you can say that he trusts these guys and all that, but look at the targets. I mean, Miles Sanders, 7, KJ Hamler, 7, Juwan Johnson, 4, and then nobody else above 3. I mean, Penn State threw 36 times, and no one gets open, and when they do, they sometimes drop it, or Trace McSorley throws it over their head. I mean, I hate to say the same thing over and over again, but there's no rhythm to this offense, and I think that's what you make a good point. I think we just assumed that the rhythm would stay. It was a new offensive coordinator with new players filling key roles, and that hasn't been the case.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking about Penn State as a program coming off a win over Indiana, looking ahead to Iowa and a key stretch coming in the season. Segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. In partnership with them, we are offering a unique RV opportunity. The Keystone Sports Network RV comes packed with barbecue, wine, beer, and some Keystone Sports Network swag as well. To learn a little bit more about that, reach out to Jim directly by email, info@ksnsports.net. Also use the Contact Us button on your KSN app. I think we touched on this a little bit this week, just in terms of identity offensively. You know, I don't know what that is. I don't know what the defined strength of this Penn State offense is. And I know it's a tough time to be trying to sort that out, but it was a question that I didn't really anticipate needing to ask going into this year. You weren't sure if Miles Sanders was going to be an adequate replacement for Saquon Barkley. He felt pretty good about that. And he's been, I think even as a five-star and the number one running back in the country a couple years ago, I think he's exceeded my expectations for him and his readiness to take on a big role. But otherwise, you know, if they need 5 yards, I don't think they have any idea how to get it.
At this point,
and I think all the evidence on the field supports that.
At this point, Dustin, there's only two ways that they're going to get it. It's going to be a pass to KJ Hamler or a pass to Pat Freiermuth. Other than that, it's not.
Or design or a run, either by design or not, by Trace McSorley.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, other than that, at this point, you just don't. How could you possibly feel good about it? So let's look at this. Penn State has passed 206 times this year. It has run 285 times. So that, again, goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the week, is that truly I think if Penn State could have its way in a perfect world, it would be a run-first outfit. But it hasn't always worked out the way that they want it to. It hasn't always been easy for them to do that. And you're right. When it really comes down to crunch time and they need someone to go out and make a play, they only got a couple guys that can do it. And if they don't, if those guys aren't open, then Trace McSorley is going to try and do it himself. And that's where you get into some problems, because then you're getting away from what you're trying to be good at, and also maybe don't have your best players in position. So you put it all together and it's just been a tough start so far for them.
So Trace McSorley has run the ball 98 times in 7 games. That's an average exactly of 14 times a game. How many of those 98 do you think were designed, and how many do you think were play breakdowns? Do you think it's a half and half? A little bit more than half were by design, because that's part, you know, that's part of, I know that's something you recognize as a staff that he can do, and you accept that and you want him to do that. But how much of that is, let's just say, on purpose, and how much is not?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that I would have, without having watched the tape, as James Franklin would say, I mean, I would think that you're probably looking at more of a 50-50 kind of thing. But I do think that Trace McSorley, the last 3 games especially, has just taken it on his own shoulders and said, you know what, if guys aren't open, if guys aren't going to catch the ball, if the play calls aren't going to, you know, give us anything against the defense, I'm just going to go run myself. And I'll try to protect my body the best I can, but I'm really not going to worry about it. And, you know, he's lucky he hasn't got hurt, but Penn State's lucky he's willing to do it, because otherwise we could be talking about maybe an even worse offensive production because of it.
And by the way, if Penn State plays in a bowl game, and if Trace McSorley stays on the same pace, he's on pace for over 1,000 yards rushing for the year, which is just pretty extraordinary. And, you know, you saw against Ohio State, you saw against Indiana, over 100 yards in those games. He's a special runner. They've needed it a lot. He's bailed him out of a lot of situations. We'll see if they come up with answers against a tough Iowa defense coming up this weekend. Tough Michigan defense on the horizon. Tough Wisconsin defense on the horizon. I think Penn State's offense, some of these questions that we're still looking for answers for them, we are going to start to find out if they're solving their problems on the fly. We're going to take a closer look at Iowa, look at the point spread. We're going to give our picks for that game after this quick break.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you, so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.